Thank you, everyone, once again for joining us for Bible studies. So if you please have not shared it, please share it on all your social media platforms and let's study the Bible together. So this month of May 2023 in Love Assembly Liverpool, we have been looking at the grace of Christ. And the grace of Christ is so wide that it's not possible to capture it in a few words, to talk about it just in a single Bible study or in a single service. The grace of God is so wide. So we're going to study the Bible together tonight by the grace of God because it's a Bible study, obviously. So grab your Bibles and let's look at the Word of God together. And as I was preparing for the Bible study yesterday during my birthday, which was a blessing, and I was thinking about what the grace of God actually means. And I was trying to because I like defining things when I'm ministering, when I'm teaching. I'm basically a teacher of the word. So I like defining things to make it simpler so that when I teach, people can understand where the word is coming from, what the word means. And as I was struggling to just on just give it a definition, I was like, let me go and look at the Strong Concordance. I look at that a lot and see what he has to say about the grace of God, the grace of God, the grace of Christ. Christ and God, they are the same. So this is the definition I got from the Strong Concordance. So obviously, it's not my definition. It's the definition from the Strong Concordance, the Bible study that is available for everybody to look at up online that was developed years ago. Amazing. It makes it easier for you when you're studying the Bible. So if you've not checked it out, please check it out. So it defines the grace of God as the merciful kindness by which God's merciful kindness. So God's grace does not have anything to do with you or I or anybody else. God's grace is God's merciful kindness that he brings upon us through his holy influence, that he exerts upon his holy influence upon souls. So first of all, God's grace is exerted upon us, upon our souls. God's grace turns us to Christ. God's grace is the one that keeps us in Christ. God's grace strengthens us. God's grace increases us as we become believers in Christian faith, in Christian knowledge, in affection and kindness. So this is God's grace. So it's God's merciful kindness. And as we look through the scriptures tonight, we begin to understand that our salvation, whatever we are, whatever we're going to be as children of God, has absolutely nothing to do with any one of us. It is all due to God's grace. God's grace can also be defined as the goodwill of God. Okay, God's grace is also the goodwill of God. Is loving kindness. I like that word, loving kindness, because I have experienced God's loving kindness in every single area of my life, in all of my 52 years. I have experienced God's grace. Sitting down here tonight is because of His grace. Being who I am is because of His grace. It's not because I am better than anybody else. It is because of the grace of God that I'm who I am. It's because of the grace of God that I'm able to come online tonight to teach the word of God. It's not that there are no better people than me that can teach the word of God in Love Assembly tonight. It's just grace. So I want you to begin to see yourself as an individual, as a believer, through the eyes of the grace of Christ. It is not because of what you have done or what did you not do, because sometimes human beings, they take away that bit of grace, a massive, massive aspect of our existence as believers. They take it away from you and they begin to say things like, oh, this is happening to you because of what you did. This has not happened for you because of what you did not do. You are not yet married because you are not out there. You don't have children because of this. You lost your job because of that. But what I'm beginning to understand as I grow older in Christ and physically as well is that there's something about God's grace. When God's grace is upon a man or a woman's life, it does not matter what you have done. As long as you ask God for forgiveness, that grace is released. Because Paul was saying somewhere, and we'll look at it later, about not continuing in sin, because sin frustrates the grace of God. So if you want God's grace to be released upon your life constantly at all times, if you want to live in the abundance of God's grace, sin is something you have to run away from completely, because your existence as your, how many of us can, none of us can say that our salvation is because we are good that we are saved. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? It's not because you are holy. It's not because you know how to pray. It's not because your parents were Christians. It is the grace of God. It is grace of God that brings salvation. Hallelujah. So God's grace is the bane of our existence as children of God. And we as believers, especially in this day and age, we have not taken that grace as much as seriously as we should. We have not leaned on the grace of God. We have not enable God to express his grace through us. So allow the grace of God to flow through us, whether to other people, whether to whatever situation we're believing God for. Sometimes we work so hard, we do so much works, you know, that we leave the grace of God out of it. So in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 14, you know, this has become so casual, because like Ohio was saying during the 6 p.m. prayer, we normally in Love Assembly pray every day at 6 p.m. And that in itself is grace. It is grace that enables a set of people for the past 1 year and for many years now from the 12 o'clock prayer as well to come together to pray. It is unusual. It's an unusual strength. Grace is unusual. Grace is unusual. Grace is what makes you to do things that normally you will not be able to do. So this scripture, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. So, you know, after our services in our churches, mostly every day we say this, but we just say it casually. We don't really think deeply. Why did the grace have to come before everything else? The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, because that is by whom we are saved. It is God's grace that allowed us to be saved. So what is this grace of our Lord Jesus Christ? It's the goodwill of God towards us as believers. It's his loving kindness. It's the merciful kindness that God decides to release upon us as his children. So there's grace available for you and I, for every single area of our lives. There is grace available. So we just need to lean on the grace of God. We have to allow the grace of God to work in our lives. We have to give in to the grace of God. We have, you know, it's like, okay, let me go on. So in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 7. Let me start from there. That was where, not where I was planning to start from, but let me start from there. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 7 tells us that grace is a gift from God. God's grace is a gift. It's a gift that God has given to us. So yesterday was my birthday, for example, and my family gave me gifts, right? My husband and my children. And I want to say thank you very much to my husband and my sons for that. And thank you everyone for your prayers for my birthday yesterday. I really appreciate it. So when my family came to give me gifts for my birthday, right? I could have said, what is this? I don't want this gift. I don't like it. It's not what I wanted. I wanted something else. I don't like the color of this gift. I don't like the shape of this gift. This gift, I was expecting something better. I was expecting something more expensive. Why did you give me this? Please, can you take it back to the store? I don't want it. I could have said that. Because for you, it is not only that somebody gives you a gift. The most important thing is that you receive that gift. Okay? So if my family gave me a gift, they present the gift and they say, oh, happy birthday, Wura. This is the gift we have for you. And I don't receive that gift, there is no way that gift will work for me. Secondly, there is no way I will enjoy that gift. I can only enjoy what I have taken from somebody else. I can only enjoy what I have received. If I've been given, let's say I was given a pair of shoes, and the shoes are so nice, they are so beautiful, but I'm like, I don't like them. I don't like the color, and I just keep them on the shoe rack. There is no way I'm going to enjoy that pair of shoes because I have not received them. First of all, I didn't receive them in my heart. Secondly, I'm not even using them because I think I deserve better. The grace of God has been given to each and every one of us as a gift. But one thing that the Lord was impressing upon my heart was, we have not received the grace of God in the area of our lives in which we are struggling. We sometimes describe the grace of God or define it as the unmerited favor of God. The grace of God is also the strength of God that is released upon us, like I said earlier. The strength of God that is released upon you in your moments of weaknesses, in your times of frustrations, in times when there is nobody else to help you, in your times of confusion, in my times of confusion, when we don't know what to do, God's grace is there, abounding. But are you ready? Do you actually receive that grace? Do you actually receive the gift of grace that the Lord has given to each and every one of us as his children? It is a gift from God. Strength is a gift from God. So many times people will say to me, oh, we don't know how you do it. You are a pastor's wife. You are a mother. You are a wife. Apart from being a pastor's wife, I'm a wife married to a man. I'm a mother. I'm a sister. I work full time, 5 days a week. I've done so for years. And when people ask me, how have you been able to do all of this? And I think back, and I honestly say, I don't know. It's just God's grace. And it might look like I'm being spiritual. It might look like I'm not being real. But to be honest, there is no other answer I can give. Because when I look back over the years, I can tell you sincerely that there have been times that I've wanted to give up on things or one thing or the other. There are times when I felt like I can't carry on with this. I can't do this anymore. I'm so weak. I'm so tired. Things are not working. I want out. You know, I want out. And as I pray about this, or as I talk to somebody about this, and I do, most importantly, learning now to talk more to God and less to man, I find an incredible strength being released inside of me to carry on. That is absolutely nothing but the grace of God. Because I ask the Lord in my moments of weakness to help me, because I cannot help myself. You know, our mistake in this day and age, and is in all generations as well, if we look through the Bible, is that we have always tried to help ourselves. See, my notebook is there. The Holy Spirit is just taking me in another direction. We've always tried to help ourselves, right? We always go to man. When situations come up, we are looking to run to your pastor. You're looking to run. There's nothing wrong with that. I'm a pastor myself. You're looking to run to the person, that person in church that you believe is very spiritual and is able to help you. You're looking to run to your parents. You're looking to run to that family member. But the last person at times we run to is God. God should be the first person you and I run to. Because the incredible strength that you see the men and the women of God, there's no secret formula anywhere. There's no secret formula. It is all down to God's grace. It is all down to God's grace. So God's grace is in the word of God. And let's look together at John chapter 1, verse 14. If you want to understand more about the grace of God, you have to lean more. You have to study the word of God more. You have to know the God of grace more. John 1, 14 says, "And the word became flesh and dwelt amongst us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Full of grace and truth. Jesus is the word of God. Jesus is the God of grace. I said earlier on that grace is from God. It is a gift from God. You have to receive that gift. You have to receive it. I have to receive it. You know how I pray these days? I pray, and I've prayed this prayer for years, in every area of my life, in whatever capacity I am, I ask for grace. So as a wife, I ask for grace to be a wife every day. Being a wife is different from being a pastor's wife. So I ask for the grace to be a wife to my husband outside of ministry. I ask for grace to be a mother to my sons. I ask for grace to be a biological mother to other people. I ask for grace to be a daughter to my mom, my parents. I ask for grace to be a sister to my siblings. I ask for grace in my place of work. Can you see the different dimensions now? So when you are praying and asking God for his grace, you have to pray for grace for every single aspect of your life, because you need grace for every single aspect. As a wife, as a husband, as a mother, as a young person, as somebody believing God to get married, as somebody believing God for the fruit of the womb, in your place of work, you need grace. The grace to relate with your colleagues, who mostly might not be believers. The grace to do your job excellently well and bring praise and glory to God. The grace to be a light in the midst of darkness in your office, in your organization, in the institution in which you find yourself. The grace to be a father. The grace to be a husband. The grace to be a wife. The grace to be a mother. That grace is there. It's just that we need to ask for it. If you don't ask, you won't receive. And even when it is being offered, the grace of God is readily available, but we don't receive it. We don't make use of it. God wants us to use him. That might sound crazy, but God wants us to use what he has. He has given us that grace, that strength that only God can give is available. Another word for grace is favor. Another word for grace is favor. I remember this year earlier on, because I like being practical, I was going to ask for some days off work because it was at 25th year wedding anniversary. And I normally they would say, oh, we can only give you maybe summer holiday 2 weeks and then maybe Easter, blah, blah, blah. And I just started this work last year and I was like, Holy Spirit, I need your favor to speak to my manager. I want a lot of leave this year. And I'm going to speak to her. And as I was just, because I've realized something about the grace of God. Grace of God, like I said, is his strength, is his merciful kindness, is his goodwill, it is favor. It's the grace of God that makes men to favor you and I. So I said, Holy Spirit, what should I do? And the Holy Spirit said to me, he said, Tell her it's your 25th wedding anniversary and you need these days apart from the normal days that I give her. And I just sent her an email. Normally, you know, you are not meant to be, you just want your holiday, something you are entitled to. But the Holy Spirit said, put that in it. And I did. And she came back and she went, oh, yeah, that's fine. Normally, we don't do it, but let me have the dates that you want because it's a special location. I'll go and discuss with my home manager and see what he says. And he went to do that, and I was granted it. And then my husband planned for us to go somewhere, and we're meant to leave on a Friday. And because we had a rota system in the office where you have to let your workplace, my workplace, know what days you are working on during the week, I'd already put down a Friday that I was coming to work on the Friday. And we had to leave for where we were going on a Friday. And I was saying to my husband, I said, I don't know if this woman is going to give me this Friday off. And my husband was like, just ask. And I just went and I said, I'm so sorry I didn't put this in the leave sheet before, but I need this date. And she was like, oh, yeah, that's fine. And that was absolutely nothing but the favor of God. Because normally, leave starts getting given out maybe like April and stuff like that. So what am I saying? The grace of God is also the favor of God. But if we don't ask, how are we going to receive? You know, some of us don't ask because we think if I ask, they might say no. But you have to understand what the grace of God is from tonight. You have to activate the grace of God in every single area of your life. Getting married is a grace from God. He that finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. God's grace is his favor. Hallelujah. One of my favorite scriptures in the Bible is 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9. Because I'm telling you, I'm sincerely telling you, there have been so many times in my life as a believer, as a wife, as a mother, as a child of God, that I've been very, very weak. This is one of the scriptures that every child of God should lean on. 2 Corinthians 12:9. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. You know, when you are looking, the Bible is so contradictory, to the human mind, to the way human beings see things. Because when you are weak, right, that means you are weak. But God is saying here that it is when you are weak that you are actually strong. So men see you as weak, but you are actually strong. So what's the secret to being strong when you are actually weak? It's the grace of God. It's the grace of God that is released upon us that makes us to be strong when we are weak. So God takes away our weaknesses as his children and gives us his strength. That is why you see Paul the apostle was speaking here, how he was able to accomplish the great and mighty things he accomplished for God. It was due to God's grace. It's not that these men and women, of course, and that's one thing that I love about the Bible. The Bible is a book ordained by God that exposes the weaknesses and the strengths of men and women. These heroes of faith, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, David, even Paul himself, all of them, you see at one point or other in their lives, the humanity of these people coming into core, the humanity being exposed of what they really are as human beings, the ability that sometimes they did things that they were not supposed to do. But then God's grace was released upon them. God's grace, God's favor came upon them. He released his loving kindness and he forgave them. So why do we think that It is unscriptural when we say somebody is weak, because we come from a generation in which we're telling people not, when you expose your weakness, you are seen as being stupid. When you expose your weakness, you are seen as not being, strong. You know, everybody wants to be perfect these days. You want to have a perfect marriage. You're not perfect yourself, but you're looking for a perfect wife. You're not perfect yourself. You're looking for a perfect husband. You want your husband to be perfect. You want your children to be perfect. You want your job to be perfect. The person you want to be you want to marry to be perfect. And then we come into these situations, we get married, and then we realize that this person is not perfect because of these expectations that I had that they were going to be. And then we start to struggle. So where have we left the space for grace? Where have we left the space for weaknesses? Because it's in our weaknesses that we can be strong. It is only somebody that is weak that will go to God and ask for strength. But if you think that you are able to do everything on your own, you don't need God's grace. And marriages are collapsing today because the grace of God is not being made use of. Because if you realize that your spouse is weak, if both of you as husband and wife realize that you are weak, then you go to God, then you go to the God of grace. You go to God for grace to sustain your marriage. You wait on the Lord, you sit down with him as husband and wife together or separately as the Holy Spirit will instruct, and you begin to ask for grace. Grace in how to speak to each other. You know, there's this part of the scripture that says the words of that come out of our mouths must proceed out, they must be words of grace. Some of us, the words that come out of our mouths are not gracious at all. You finish your spouse with the words of your mouth. You say horrible things, and then you expect that person the next minute, 1 minute after saying horrible things to them, and you just say sorry, and you just think that, oh, they should just take it like that. It takes grace to forgive. It takes the grace of God. So the grace of God is not something that you can talk about in a single Bible study. So thank God we all have the Holy Spirit. So let us each go and ask God, what area of your life are you weak right now? Is your marriage in trouble? Go and ask God for grace in that marriage. I told you before, ask for grace. It's not easy being a pastor's wife. Ask for grace. Ask for grace to be a mother. Ask for grace every day to wake up, to do the things that I have to do, to talk to people, to pray with people. Even when I have challenges in my own life, I ask for grace. It's not because I am better than anybody else. It's because I have understood what the grace of God is. I have understood that without the grace of God, I am nothing. I have understood that my strength comes from God's grace. I have understood that the favor that I will receive in my life comes from God. So if I want to receive the grace of God, I must make sure that I'm constantly asking for that grace. People say to me, oh, I can't do what you do. Well, you can do it. It's just because you've not asked for grace to do whatever God has committed it to your hands. Grace in your home. Grace in raising your children. Some parents will tell me, I can't teach my own child. I don't believe that. I taught my own children the Bible. It is what you ask for that you will get. If you ask for grace for your children to sit down and you study the Bible together with them, God will give you that grace. There's grace. What I'm just trying to say, I hope the Holy Spirit will help me, is that there's grace available for every area of our lives. It has all been done. It's all been perfected by Christ. But we don't ask for the grace of God. We don't receive it. We just let it lie low there, and then we go up and down, running helter-skelter, trying to figure things out. And the Holy Spirit is like, this is so simple. I wish my child would just understand that my grace is sufficient for him, that my grace is sufficient for her, that my strength has been made perfect in your weakness. So that when I am weak, then I am strong. Not by power, not by might, but by the Spirit of God. The grace of Christ has been made available to each and every one of us as his children. It is how you see yourself with God, honestly. That is how you will receive the grace. It's there. It's a gift. Like I explained before, you have to receive that gift of grace that your Heavenly Father has given unto you. Your salvation, please, did any one of us save ourselves? It's Christ that died for us all. It's Christ that saved our souls. Salvation is grace. Salvation is the grace of God. We did not deserve the Lord's mercy. We did not deserve his love. But he left his throne in the heavens. He came down to be amongst us. He died for us on the cross so that we can be all that he has created us to be. So in what area of your life are you struggling tonight? You need the grace of God to help you. You need the grace of God to strengthen you. God's grace will be released upon you and I as we forgive. If you are on this Bible study, if you're on this streaming, whatever tonight, and there are people in your life that you have not forgiven, you have to forgive them. You have to let them go. Once or twice in my life, not even once or twice, I'm struggling with words now. The Holy Spirit helped me. So many times in my life, of course, as human beings, people do things to you. People hurt you. In fact, sometimes seeing people's pictures brings up memories to me. And because of what they have done, and sometimes I'm just like, Holy Spirit, I need your grace. I don't want my life. I don't want this person to become an idol in my heart. You are meant to have the whole of my heart. My heart is fully yours. Nothing else should dwell there. But when you hold a human being in your heart, there is no way the grace of God can be made readily available for you. There is no way the grace of God will work in your life. Let's look at Romans chapter 6, verse 1. Romans chapter 6, verse 1. Thank you, Jesus. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? The next verse, please. Thank you. Verse 2. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? You cannot continue to live a life of unforgiveness and expect God's grace. Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? So we're already dead to sin. Unforgiveness hinders the grace of God being released upon our lives. Because unforgiveness is sin. So like I was saying, from time to time, I just run things through my heart. I check my heart to see that I'm not holding anybody in my heart. And when we are asked to pray for anybody that to ask for forgiveness, I just tell God, I just go like, Lord, I've already forgiven this person. But just in case I have not forgiven them, I'm praying once again that I forgive them. And one of the easiest ways that the Holy Spirit has taught me how to forgive people is to pray for them. It's hard. Very hard to, you know, pray for people who have hurt you. It might just be something as simple as, God bless this person. It's so easy. It just lifts up. Away from you. So from time to time, because I need grace in my life, you see, I need the grace of God. I cannot afford as a child of God, not to have the grace, the goodwill of God, His loving kindness, His mercy, His favor upon my life. So because of a human being, come on, because of what somebody did, so people will say, oh, you don't know what they did. What did they do? What has somebody done to you that will cost you heaven if you are not careful? Because at the end of this day, where we are, this world is not our permanent abode. We're just passing through. I have made up my mind that I'm not going to allow any human being to stop me from making heaven. Nobody is worth it. Nobody is worth my missing heaven. Jesus Christ has paid the ultimate price for me. And I'm looking forward to the day I will see Him. So somebody comes and offends me, and I find myself falling so many times, going through the office, somebody, you open the door for somebody, they didn't say thank you, I've muttered something, and the Holy Spirit will be like, girl, don't do that. And I'll be like, Holy Spirit, I'm sorry, Lord, please forgive me. Nobody is worth my missing heaven. Nobody is worth your missing heaven. Do you know something about the grace of God? That person, right, and this is the most scary part of this thing. That person that you are saying that you won't forgive, oh, they will rot in hell, they will do this, they will do that. 1 minute to go at the end of their lives, they will just give their lives to Jesus, and they will make heaven, and they will go to heaven. And you, God forbid, that you have been a Christian for 55 years, you've fasted and prayed till your neck is very long, you will not miss heaven because you did not forgive. Sometimes we say God's grace is not fair, but that is God's grace. There's absolutely nothing we can do about it. So I'm talking to people online tonight who have made unforgiveness their lifestyle. You even brag about it. It's like you brag that I can hold. Some husbands don't talk to their wives. Man of God, you don't talk to your wife. Some wives don't talk to their husband. Silent treatment, and you are praying for God's grace. Sorry, you are not going to get His grace because you are living in unforgiveness. God is a God of principles. He doesn't care about how high you speak in tongues. He doesn't care about how much you can fast or pray. It's not about your giving. The basic principles of love, of loving kindness, of mercy, be merciful to another human being. We do not do these things. You don't talk to your spouse for days and you are praying. Please, which God are you praying to? God is not going to answer your prayers. He's not going to. You're not talking to your husband for days. You keep insulting your husband, insulting your wife, saying horrible things to your children, and you're asking for God's grace. It's not going to work. No. No, stop bragging that you can hold somebody in your heart for 3 months. It is satanic. It is not of God. It is not of God to keep malice. When we're younger, so we used to boast that I can do without talking to this person for 3 weeks. As a child of God, those things should not even come out of your mouth. We have left those things behind. For you to experience the fullness of God's grace in your life, you must forgive. You must learn how to let things go easily, quickly. It's not easy, but you learn it. That is what grace is. God will give you the strength in your times of weaknesses. Ask for it. It is not the priority for pastors or leaders alone. Ask for God's grace to be a good husband. Ask for God's grace to be somebody that the words that come out of their mouths will be gracious. Sometimes people will do things to me and I want to talk. Sometimes God releases His grace through my husband And I want to really appreciate my husband, because so many times I would have just done things that might have scattered the church. My husband will rein me in. And then at times the Holy Spirit will be like, Wura, you can't even. And I'll be like, Lord, this is not fair. Lord, this is not fair. I'll be sitting down like this. My whole body will be shaking with anger, because I just want to say something. I just want to say something back. This person that's attacking me, this person that is attacking my husband, and God sees my heart that I love this person, but this person is coming from an angle that I don't even understand, and I want to give it to that person, like we always say. And the Holy Spirit will be like, don't say a word. And I'll be like, in front of everybody, this person is saying this now. They will now come back later, Lord, to apologize when nobody is there. And the Holy Spirit will be like, it's okay. Don't say a word. That is grace. That is God's grace in my moments of weaknesses. That is God's grace. Sometimes some people apologize. Sometimes some people don't apologize. But I'm learning that is not my problem. I will pray for you, even if it's one phrase, so that my heart can be free, so that I can make heaven. You are not worth me missing heaven. I don't care who you are. You are not worth it. Nobody's worth you missing heaven. Look at it. After all we have done here, come on. After all we have been through, a human being, a mortal made of sand and clay, that the Creator can just say, take the breath away in a second, will not make you to miss eternity. Tell me, is it worth it? No, it's not. So that's why we need grace every single day, from the moment we wake up till with the time we go to bed. We need God's grace. Some of us have to now go back, and in our marriages, we have to now learn how to speak to our spouses. Gracious words. Gracious words. We have to learn how to speak gracious words to our children, to our parents, to our siblings. Sometimes they are like, I'm like, Holy Spirit, but this person is not even worth speaking this word to. The Holy Spirit will be like, it does not matter. And in my life as a believer, as a pastor, I have seen people repent and turn around. And the person, the people, God has taught me so many lessons, you know, so many lessons. The people that at one point in my life pastoring, that I thought, this person is so difficult to deal with. I can't take this thing from this person anymore. Because this is a God of grace that we are talking about. In another 2-3 years, I see this same person getting transformed. And this same person that I couldn't stand what they were doing to me 3-5 years ago becomes one of the greatest blessings of my life. I've seen it time and time and time and time again. I've seen it time and time and time and time again. That is why you see me, the way I relate with the children in Love Assembly. I know what I am doing. Because the children hold on to so much words that come out of an adult's mouth. I know that the children will injure to everything that I say. And that's how I raise my children. I affirm my children. I affirm the children around me. I encourage them. Because when you build that confidence in them when they are that young, when you show them love when they are that young, when you show them affection, when you speak gracious words to children, when you let children know that you'll be there for them, when they don't do the things that I ask them to do, I correct them. I do. Even in church, I do, and they know big mommy. I correct them. But you have to affirm these children. You have to love them. You have to affirm your wife. But my wife knows I love her. No, sir. Say it. Say it. He knows in my heart. It's only God that can see your heart. Me, as a human being, I can't see your heart. You have to tell me. My husband has to tell me that he loves me. And I have to tell my husband that I love him.
We have to speak gracious words to one another. Stop it. Stop it. You are quarreling with your wife. Couples argue all the time. But I thank God in my 25 years of marriage, of course, we argue, but none of us have ever called each other nasty names. My husband and I, never. We're raising two sons who are going to be husbands one day. What example are we setting? Why would you call your wife nasty words? Why would you speak to your husband in an insulting way? Why? And then the next moment, we're kneeling down and we're asking God, Father, I come to you. You know, sometimes we're so spiritual that we don't have sense. I'm sorry. You know, you don't think that you've just upset your spouse. And then the next minute, you're now kneeling down to pray. Please, which prayer are you praying? Which prayer are you praying? Who are you praying to? We have to follow the principles that the God of grace has left with us. Some of us, things are not working in our lives because we are frustrating the grace of God. Galatians chapter 2, verse 21. We are frustrating it. God has made his grace available to us. Please, I want the King James. Thank you very much. I was like, did I give you the wrong scripture? I want King James. I'm a King James babe. I love King James. So God has given us his grace. Do not let us frustrate the grace of God. Do not frustrate his grace. King James says frustrate. I do not frustrate it. How can you frustrate the grace of God? By not forgiving people. And it's always the people that are very close to us. By not receiving that grace. By not asking for help. The grace is there, but we don't ask for help. I pray that the Holy Spirit will help us in the name of Jesus, not only for the month of May, but for the rest of our lives, to make use of God's grace that he has made readily available for us in Christ. Your being here today, my being here today, is due absolutely to the grace of God. Father, we just want to thank you for your grace. Thank you, Father, because your strength is made perfect in our weaknesses. And I just pray for anybody online right now, or those that will watch later, that might be saying, you don't know what they've done to me. You don't understand. It's much more than what you have experienced. Father, I pray for such people tonight, your grace will be released upon them.
Thank you, Lord.
In the name of Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
The grace to let go. The grace to forgive. The grace to receive healing from God for the hurts and the pain that they have gone through. The grace, oh God, to always speak gracious words. The grace to receive that which you have in store for them. The grace to live their lives to please you. The grace to live their lives as Christians to please you. It's not by power. It's not by might. It's by your spirit. The grace to live, even to live the life of a believer, takes the grace of God. In our places of work, in our families, like Pomile was saying earlier on today, evil is not being seen as good. Good is not being seen as evil. Christians are not being seen as strange, weird people. Even to live in this world now takes grace. Release your grace for everybody online tonight. I just want you to pray for yourself as we round up right now for the grace of God to be released upon you. Whatever area of your life in which you are struggling, in your home, in your marriage, in your health, in your finances, in your relationship with your children, in your relationship with God, I just ask right now for the grace of God to be released upon you in the name of Jesus. The grace to forgive your family that have hurt you so much. Father, we thank you. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. Lord, we receive your grace. I want you to receive the grace of God tonight. His loving kindness, his goodwill, his mercy, his favor, his strength into your soul, into your body, into your spirit. Thank you so much, Father, for your grace. Thank you so much for your grace. Thank you for the grace to bring your word tonight, not out of judgment, but out of the love of God, out of the mercy of God. Thank you, Lord, for your mercy towards each and every one of us. Thank you for your loving kindness. It's part of your grace. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen. 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 Thank you, everyone. God bless you.
Amen. Thank you so much, Mommy. Thank you so much. And I just want everybody to pray for Mommy and just pray for her, that even as she has entered a new year, a new season, that the Lord would give her the grace to do everything that he has committed into her hands to do. As she mentioned earlier, she's a mother, she's a pastor, she's a pastor's wife, she's a woman in ministry, she's an employee, she's an employer, she does a lot of things. And I just want us to begin to release God's grace for every area of our life. Father, we pray, Holy Spirit, Father, that even the grace to fulfill all that you have shown her, Lord, during the time that she has spent with you for her birthday, Lord, we pray for a release of that grace upon her in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, we pray that things would start to get easy for your daughter in the mighty name of Jesus, that she wouldn't even ask God before she begins to receive, oh God, that she begin to receive instruction, oh God, specific instructions in the name of Jesus, Lord. Father, we thank you for the grace upon our life. We thank you for the grace upon Star. We thank you for the grace upon Noah, upon Joshua, upon all that you have committed into their hands, Holy Spirit. We even thank you for the grace upon Love Assembly, God. Yes, Father, we give you all. Lord, we pray that even as she has shared your word tonight, Lord, she will be the first partaker of the blessings from tonight in the name of Jesus. And the enemy will steal the word that you have spoken through her in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you, God.
Thank
we
you,
give
Lord.
You all the glory in Jesus' Alleluia. Name. We have
Amen. God bless you.
Thank you so much, Mommy. Thank you. Thank you, Ma. Thank God bless you, Ma. Thank you. Yeah. I'm gonna invite Shindara to take the announcement very quickly. Oops.